It's time for the show that brings the magic right to your speakers. Ears up!
What's going on, everybody? Ears Up Podcast. First show of January 2024. Should have been last night, but we had some audio problems. So if you're joining us live for that last night, thank you for coming back around this time. I don't know what's going on, man. I got the ghost in the machine. Mm-hmm. I felt like the old man in Gremlins who talked about like all the gremlins and his tractors and everything. No, it really is happening. And Jeremy is like the old, young, cute bartender. He's like, sure. Let's get you home. Do you need a ride? No, you don't understand. The gremlins were coming. And that was me. That was me and Jeremy. That was our dynamic last night.
It's true. Yeah, and I've never even seen that movie, so I don't get any of this reference. But
that's okay. Most people wouldn't, even though they've seen the movie, because
it's true.
It's just a rambling, disgusting analogy that no one is like, well, I don't know, whatever. We have a good show for you tonight, of course, because today is the 2023 year in review, which I'm very excited about. We go through last year and we, do biggest Disney winner, all these kinds of things. If this is new for you, we have categories just like any awards show. And I actually got music this time.
No.
Yeah, yes. I did.
Wow.
I did. Yeah. I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit monotonous and annoying because I didn't really have a whole lot of time.
That's how it should be, though. I mean,
that's us. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's accurate. That really tracks.
Yeah, it does.
On brand.
Yeah. So I got awards music, I think. We'll see.
Nice. I don't know.
Yeah. Before we get to that, of course, if you guys are going to the parks or if you're booking any Disney cruises or whatever, please hit our friends up at ConciEars. You go to concieears.com and let them book things for you. You just give them the dates. You give them what you want to do. You give them your credit card number and they take care of the rest. I know it sounds like a crypto scam, but it's not. I promise. It sounds like a pyramid scheme, an MLM thing. It's like, we'll book for you if you book for two people that you know.
Oh, God, that would be amazing.
It goes on and on. It's definitely not that, though. Concieears is probably one of the best travel partners out there for you to hit up and book trips with, because they do so much more than just book anything for you. They will help book reservations for you. They'll do everything for you. They won't even help you. But the parks are kind of a mess right now, and to figure out when to go and what parks to hit first, and we need a park hopper here.
Even how to go to the parks.
How
seems
to go to the
difficult.
Parks. Genie Plus. What's covered in Lightning Lane? So if you value your time and you don't want to sit there and look all that stuff up yourself, just have the people at Concieers do it for you. They know it. They don't even have to look it up. I'm assuming. I think maybe Eric has to look some stuff up sometimes. But
I have to look stuff up. But I'm not one of the pros. So
that's right.
Let them look it up.
Let them
don't,
look
don't
it up
waste
for
your
you.
Time, because I've tried to look stuff up.
It's impossible.
It still doesn't make any sense to me.
Also, because it's ever changing. I think I have a story in here about there's now a new date and time for Disney World to not need reservations. It's like, just getting very confusing. It's way more confusing than just stopping to do it.
Yeah.
I wish they would just have full on reservations at this point. It was easier because I at least knew what that was. Now we're in this weird, like, perverse gray area of, and like, I feel like I'm in the CIA and I have like those strings on my wall connecting different things, like trying to figure out when I could go.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. But the people at Concieers know what's going on. And all this stuff doesn't cost you a single thing above what the parks will charge you for tickets and hotel rooms and stuff like that.
And you still have to pay for your trip.
Yeah, you still got to go. Yeah, right. You still got to do the thing.
Yeah.
So check them out, concieers.com. Okay, I'm excited for the year in review, man. You know, it was really hard. Tara and I were talking like, God, for two people who haven't been in 4 years, like this is very hard.
Well, and even beyond that, and I tried really hard to not be super negative for my reviews. But yeah. It's just been a rough year, a rough couple of years for Disney.
It has.
I mean, I would say, like, COVID aside, I don't think I would be that gung-ho to go to the parks even without like COVID and all of that stuff. Like, it's just, there's a sparkle missing for me somewhere in the Disney universe. So it made this a little difficult, but kind of fun to try and pick out some of the good things and remember some of the fun things that happened.
There you go. Yeah. Nice way to round that out, Tim. Yeah. And hit your microphone again.
Yeah, I will. Okay. I'll just slap it. Well, Bev's not here anymore, so yeah. I was gonna get a drink with ice and a straw, and
all right. That's fair.
Mic hitting would be the first step.
Yeah. All right. Well, here we go. We're gonna start off our 2023 year in review. First category tonight is biggest Disney winner.
All right.
You picked that song?
That's what I'm saying. I know. It was not what I was expecting.
Like I told you, I didn't have a whole lot of time at about 28 seconds. And this is, yes, this is the song I picked.
I don't even think it's a song. It's noise.
It's someone's sound effects library that they just put on one file. Yeah. Hey, kids. What's going on? Welcome to the Boys and Girls Club, where you can be safe after school. We're hip. We got the Riz in your... I don't know. Anyway, whatever. Biggest Disney winner. Eric, why don't you start it off? I thought this was your first year, but apparently it's like your eighth.
Yeah. I've been doing this for 8 years, nice. Longer than you've been doing this show.
Well, this is our 10th year now, dude. Our
11th year. Most of the time, I just sit in this room and I just start talking.
Okay, great. Yeah. And then Brandy nudges you and goes, "Are you sleeping again? Are you sleep podcasting again?
What? Huh? Oh. All right. Biggest Disney winner.
Yes, sir.
I say the biggest Disney winner this year is the Reedy Creek Improvement District. Mm. No. Not the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District.
Yeah.
That I still can't remember the name of. After the CFTOD went live in February of 2023, which was the year that was last year, that we're talking about this year, the RCID fans got an immediate boost when they heard that the original board had openly and legally passed initiatives to protect Disney property. From the new leadership, we were all very excited when we found out that this whole thing was set to expire 20 years after the death of King Charles III's last descendant. Very, very exciting, very fun. But then the last few months, the battle has begun anew. Disney filed suit for censure against the new board for censorship and retaliation. The new board is withholding documents from them. The new board is calling. They had an 80-page document that said that the Reedy Creek Improvement District was the epitome of corporate cronyism.
Right.
And through classically. And through it all, you know, the new board is hiring their friends for contracts, just like the Reedy Creek Improvement District used to do. Independent citizen groups and legislators are calling in the new year, this year, 2024, to put initiatives on the ballot to return the district to Disney. Ultimately, this whole thing is a little bit spicier than we all talked about at the beginning of the year. We thought everybody was going to lose interest and it would go away quietly. But you know what? At this point, Ron DeSantis is realizing that he might not be the best candidate for the president. So maybe he should reinvest in the state of Florida. And who knows how these things are going to go forward. It's not going to be quite as quiet as we thought it would be initially when all this went down. I think we're going to have a lot of progress in the coming year. And ultimately, I think it benefits Disney that things have kind of come back around at the end of the year.
I didn't remember that until you mentioned it. But when this whole thing was going down or whole thing was announced that Reedy Creek was going away, I think we're all like, what's going to happen? Cares? Like, who cares? Yeah, right. Exactly. It's going to be another oversight. Who really cares? I don't think anybody could have predicted this level of like weird interaction.
Right.
It's pretty weird, man.
Yeah, it's getting kind of crazy again, but not really crazy. It's all grandstanding and okay, fine. We all know how this stuff goes. Right. But we'll see.
All right. Taryn.
My biggest Disney winner this year is whoever shot the video of the naked guy on Small World. And that's because that person, whoever they are, they got so many followers, they got views, they got news stories posting about that video, linking back to their profile. And I bet you anything that that made that guy or girl some money. And all they did was video a guy having a really weird day. So congrats to that person.
I would love to follow up with that person. How is that person doing, I wonder?
The naked guy?
Yeah, the person who shot the video is probably doing fine.
They're doing great.
Yeah.
That's why they're my biggest winner. But yeah. the naked guy, I would guess, is not doing so hot. It's just a wild guess. I'm thinking, I don't know if that was rock bottom, but it's...
You know, I have a feeling that with people like that who can clearly be on drugs or having some sort of psychotic thing, you could either be super remorseful in getting treatment or you could just not care. And I sort of feel like he falls into the latter camp where he's like, oh man, yeah, that was bad, but I don't know, I'm getting more Tootsie Rolls at the store. Like, yeah. What do you want from me?
That's what I mean. He didn't strike me as rock bottom. It was just sort of like, it's average. Tuesday and I'm just going to do this thing.
Yeah. My diary in 20 years will be really weird.
Yeah, basically.
I'll go next, Jeremy, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. Thank you very much. First, I was going to go with biggest Disney winners, shareholders. Right. Because, at least a couple of weeks ago, the stock was kind of up. But now looking at it today, it's not really it closed at 90.43 per share, which year to date is not really far off from where it started this time. Actually, January. What are we at? Whatever. Yeah, anyway, whatever.
Today's the 12th.
Thank you. It doesn't matter.
We got our dividend, though.
That's right. We did. Yeah. So January, like, let's say like 13th. There we go. Last year, $99. It's now trading at $90. So stock market, that's not going to be good. And shareholders aren't really big Disney winners. So then that made me think, well, you know, who's going to be it? Bob Iger. Mm. Bob Iger made about $27 million last year, which is 535 times the median salary of his employees, which is far less than the $45 million he made in 2001. But still, he's still making a bunch of money. And we sort of forget like that big corporate, you know, those big corporate salaries. And a lot of it was like stocks and a lot of it was compensation and bonuses and stuff like that. But that man made $45 million. Good gravy. What I want to know is what kind of happens with that money that they saved. They got him back. He's doing the same things for, you know, almost half the money. We hear all this talk about shaving budgets and raising prices, and we can't do cool stuff because of this budget here, budget cuts there. We have to fire a bunch of people because we need to save money. But I want to know where all the money savings goes to. Like, we saved $20 million off his salary, and it's like, hey, we aren't paying Bob as much, so no price raises on tickets for a year or whatever.
Well, I don't think that equates to $20 million.
Yeah, I know, but you know what I mean. And then I was reading about CEO pay, and from 1978 to 2018, CEO compensation grew by 1,007.5%. Far out,
like general CEO?
Yeah, general CEO. Far outstripping the S&P stock market growth at 706%, and the wage growth of very high earners grew 339%. In contrast, wages for the typical worker grew by just 11.9%. So Bob Iger is the biggest Disney winner because he is making money hand over fist. Jeremy.
Well, I think that the biggest Disney winner of 2023 is Bob Chapek.
Whoa! Okay.
Though he is no longer with the company, I think now that he has been departed for some time, I think this was the year of the Chapek vindication.
That's a good point.
A lot of us have seeing that these problems probably did not all originate with him. They didn't start with him. They haven't stopped with him now that his predecessor is now his successor. I think that this is the year that we were all kind of like, yeah, I don't know if this is all Chapek's doing.
Yeah.
So I think he's been vindicated.
That makes me, makes my heart happy to hear somebody else on this channel saying this. I feel the same way.
You were going to like it.
Oh, man.
And consider the payout the man got.
Yeah. He's happy on an island somewhere for sure.
Like, yeah. And meanwhile, take a look at Bob Iger. I mean, this past year has not been kind to him.
No.
He's haggard and withered and gray.
Like, no, he's a mess.
It's gone south fast.
Not
man.
Good
he's
for
like,
the old man. No.
You know, it's like he's just served an eight-year presidency.
Yes.
You know, they always come out looking like all gnarled.
But like in a
that's
year.
What happened. Gnarled.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's like a big block of driftwood. It's just all gnarled and worn down.
By the way, those presidency photos, when you see the side-by-side of like day one and the last day, oh, that's like my favorite thing because you're like, whew,
yeah. How do you think?
That's a job.
Yeah. How do you think we feel, sir?
<That's> true.
You know what I mean. Enjoy your unlimited health care.
Yeah, it's security detail till you die.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, guy. All right. Biggest Disney loser. let's go reverse, Jeremy.
The biggest Disney loser is Jeffrey Epstein. No, not that Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay. Epstein didn't buy his own magic key.
Jeffrey R. Epstein, the painfully annoying VP of corporate communications for Disney, was one of the first to lose his job in the more than 7,000 layoffs that hit the company in the first half of the year, starting in March. The outspoken figurehead of D23, who hosted the D23 Inside Disney podcast, was let go. Epstein now is the butt of a meme circulating recently on the Instagram account Beauty and Mockery, which is really funny if you don't follow it. And they have a picture. They took a picture from his beach vacation. But you see his name, Jeffrey R. Epstein. And the post says, here's this R holding up the weight of the world, because like the rest of his name is Jeff. Epstein at this moment. So not only did Jeffrey Epstein lose his job and share his namesake with Jeffrey Epstein, but he's now the butt of memes from Beauty and Mockery.
Dang.
So biggest Disney loser. Sorry, Jeffrey R. Epstein.
That's funny.
That happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My biggest loser is biggest Disney loser is the Disney Parks fans. I think all of us kind of lost a little bit this year. We got price increases, IP moving in to take over pure and unique spaces in our parks, infighting amongst the highest levels of management. It all translates to a bad experience for us, the fans. Some of it doesn't translate directly to the parks, but it's more of the vibe we have for the company and how that's slowly eroding. I mean, we're reading a lot about, certain Star Wars films getting shelved, or there's directors coming and going. That doesn't look good for the cinematic side of the world. And then you have, budget cuts for this ride. We have this coming in here. We're going to strip this and put this place here. And oh no, we can't figure out a replacement for this Epcot show. They have no idea what's going on. And I think it doesn't really translate to as good of an experience as we're used to going to the park. I really feel like we as fans are being asked to rely on our nostalgia a lot more than we have before. This doesn't feel good, but it used to. So let's just keep going versus like, oh man, I got really charged up after this. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I could see that.
Yeah.
This made me think of this because you're like, we're relying on nostalgia. I was in Epcot the other day and there's a t-shirt that Disney's selling unironically that says, make your own magic.
They're telling us,
wow.
They're coming right out and saying, do it yourselves.
Yeah. No, we're not going to do it for you.
Make your own magic. We can't afford to hire anybody to do it. So make your own magic. Get out, push the button, and run back into the car before it zooms off.
That's very funny.
Make your own magic. Taryn, go ahead.
My biggest Disney loser for 2023 are the 8,000 employees who were laid off.
Nice.
And but I tried my best to make this a positive show. So the good news out of this is that Disney recorded severance related charges of $357 million.
Oof.
So while people got laid off, at least they got severance, because companies don't have to do that. And so
that's true.
There's at least that.
There you go.
That's almost exactly how much they wrote off with the Galactic Star Cruiser.
Coincidence? All right, Eric, round us out, buddy.
All right. Well, I say the biggest Disney loser this year is the Disney movie going public.
Mm.
And not for the reason that you think. I really dislike the way the internet has treated movies in general in the last year. I love going to the movies. I'm a person that I'm biased. I go to the movies. I go to a movie theater to see movies.
No one's doubting you.
You. I don't know.
Okay. Go ahead. You're doing great.
But yeah, who cares if there was product placement in the Haunted Mansion? It was a fun movie. Yeah. Who cares if MODOK in Quantumania looked like weird CGI from 2002? The movie was fun. The Marvels was the most fun I've had watching a Marvel movie in years. Guardians 3 worked very well. It was painful because of all of the animal cruelty, but that was the point. Like the movie made me feel something. And Dial of Destiny, okay, sure, it's old Indiana Jones and they had a CGI, like a de-aging sequence that was pretty well done. But ultimately, it was a good Indiana Jones movie. How can we be, it's decades later, how can we turn down another Indiana Jones movie?
Right.
So we have all of this stuff coming out. I admit, I haven't seen everything in the theaters. I didn't see Wish. I didn't see Elemental in the theaters.
Do you not like going to the theater or something?
No, famously, I've never been to a movie theater.
I'm on record as saying I've never been.
I wait until it comes out on Disney Plus. But the whole point is,
yeah,
there are things coming out in the theaters. Why are we downplaying all of this? There's good content that's coming out in the theaters on Disney Plus, not that long afterward. There's new stuff coming out. Why go see it?
I tell you, I go into this a little bit in one of my other things, but I think a lot of it has to do with just the way people are trying to monetize their opinions in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
It leads to this influx of just crap that we have to see. Some of that also, I think, is, you know, when you're a big dog like Disney, you are held to a higher storytelling standard. And so if your CGI de-aging looks terrible, like they did with Luke in The Mandalorian or whatever, he looked awful. The fan edit looked 10 times better than the actual company did. And it's like those kinds of guffaws or gaffes or whatever. That's what people are sort of like pointing out to, like, you're charging us all this money. You're raising prices on all these things. And yet you can't pull off like basic storytelling anymore. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
As far as basic storytelling is going, basic storytelling is still happening. Maybe we're reaching too far with the visuals. It's you know, Leia in Rogue One, where at the end of Rogue One, you're like, oh, that doesn't really, that wasn't great.
Yeah.
And Tarkin and everything. And but still, the story is great. There are stories that are coming out. And sure, we're going to have some problems coming up because of the actors and writers strikes.
Sure.
We're going to have a gap. We've had this in the past, but still, the movie industry is changing. I don't know how everything is going to happen, but still, we're seeing new content. And I, as a person who has never been to the movie theater, would love to go to movie theaters again.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, or just wait until they're on Disney Plus.
Sure.
Still, let's stop, as you're saying, the monetization of accounts that are just, I don't want to say the word. They're pooping on the industry.
Sure.
Like, can we just be happy about something for a little while? Can we just enjoy something that comes out? Can we
sometimes
have like a little bit of joy in our lives? I don't want to be negative about everything forever.
No.
Can we just be positive for a little bit and enjoy that something is happening and enjoy it?
We'll be negative until Chapek comes back and then we'll be positive because he's coming back. Don't worry.
He's not coming back.
Great. Yeah, good idea.
Jeremy, biggest Disney loser.
Jeffrey R. Epstein.
Oh, that's right. Okay, okay. Jeez, I forgot. Eric took 20 minutes to figure out. Yeah, okay, so who's next? What are we doing? Was that it?
That was it.
So now we're at the top of the get.
Most boring.
No, I haven't done biggest Disney loser.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay. You went on a whole thing.
No, I didn't.
You did.
No, I didn't. What was it?
Why don't you tell us what it is? And we'll see if it sounds familiar.
No, you said that you said the biggest Disney losers was the park goers. All of us.
Don't you have it like written?
Yeah, I do, but hold on a second. I'm so stupid. Because I had last year's pulled up. That was last year's.
Oh my God. You've been giving us last year's.
You know, I really thought, I'm like, I feel like this is familiar.
I made a boo-boo.
Oh my God. And then he says that he didn't go. He can't even remember what he said five minutes ago.
I can't because Eric lost me.
Because I was happy about Eric putting in his submission for 2024's most boring.
Yeah, Eric's ray of sunshine. Whatever that my line is, right?
Get ready. We could be more boring.
Biggest Disney loser. Creativity. We seem to be moving farther away from non-IP attractions and cannonballing into the shallow end of the Disney content library. Think about the most iconic Disneyland rides and attractions. Mansion, Pirates, Monorail, Train, even maybe Space Mountain, Benches. These things are what happens when you actually have creativity on your side.
Benches.
All right.
Benches.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Walt wanted a bunch of benches. That's what we got. I don't know. I was thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, like especially with Disneyland, because we're Disneyland focused. The most iconic rides are non-IP rides. They just are.
Yeah.
And that should be saying something to the company, but apparently it's not.
But it doesn't.
No.
No.
Who has not gone?
Everybody has gone.
Loser. Okay.
We've
Thank
all
you
gone.
Very much.
Some twice.
Most boring.
This show needs a moderator.
It really does.
I know.
Every
it needs
year.
Someone who's smart enough to pay attention.
RGH, please log in.
Okay. Most boring this year. Sorry, Eric, but it's the Disney box office.
But it's Eric.
The Marvels, Avatar, Elemental, Wish, Haunted Mansion, Indiana Jones, Ant-Man. Now, granted, I've only seen one of these movies, but that speaks to my point. I don't care about any of them except Haunted Mansion. And neither does anyone else, because none of these movies boxed $1 billion. And that was the first time that's ever happened to Disney since 2014. So.
And we only, at least me, I don't know about you, but I only cared about the Haunted Mansion movie because I wanted to be positive about it. And it wasn't bad. It was fine. It was a fine movie. Yeah. I sort of enjoyed it. It wasn't as bad as it could have been.
I liked it.
But when you're, but it does, it does sort of speak to your point of, when you're seeing something because you feel compelled to try to be positive, that's not a good reason to see something.
No.
And that's why I saw it.
Yeah. And if your takeaway is it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Yeah.
I was expecting worse. I'll be honest.
But like, I didn't even know that an Ant-Man movie came out until I was looking at stuff up for this show. Indiana Jones, fine.
I still want to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Do you have
interest in seeing the Indiana Jones movie?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Oh, okay.
Wish is going to be stupid, but I know I'll have to watch it probably 700 times once Alice gets a hold of it. Elemental, I actually do kind of want to see, but again, you know, to Jason's point, the reason I haven't seen it is because I'm going into it hating it because Inside Out's one of my favorite movies and it looks exactly the same to me from the commercials. And I know it's not and whatever. Don't at me. But it's just all right. Boring. It's
Stop
boring.
Adding my wife.
It's
please.
Boring.
Yeah. Eric.
All right. Most boring. Also the Reedy Creek debacle for most of the year.
Fair.
Most of the year.
That's a fair point.
This board did nothing.
Yeah.
We had those early things. It's amazing to me looking back on it that all of this happened in February, like the early stuff happened in February and March. And then for most of the year, nothing really happened. Sure, the current chairman was illegally head of both the board and the Florida Ethics Commission. And somebody had to tell him, you can't be on both of
because
those
it's not ethical.
Yeah. And he's cool. Thankfully, he chose the right path and he chose the one that pays him $400,000 a year. And, you know, really, ultimately, like nothing has happened. Nobody has done. The board hasn't done anything. They can't, but they haven't done anything to change Walt Disney World. They didn't do like DeSantis showed up once and said, well, maybe we'll put a prison over there and maybe we'll put a new amusement park over there. Like, all that's just grandstanding. The board ultimately has said, okay, we're here. They haven't done much of anything. So for most of the year, this story has been more boring than we ever thought when it started.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
Most boring. Luminous, the Symphony of Us, the new nighttime spectacular at Epcot. This brings boring to another level. This show is so bad. The only thing that kept me from falling asleep was the lava of anger seething in my stomach, vomiting out my mouth, screaming during it. What are they thinking? What are they doing? What is this supposed to be?
Wow.
It starts off with a really bad, by the way, so when they start off the announcement at 7, when they're like, God, don't forget to stay tonight, guys, because we have a show at the end of the night. Please stay. Please don't leave the park.
And then when you're done, please clap.
They go, when they're describing it, they're like, featuring original music, because like they know that people have been so angry that it was, they've tried with the IP with Harmonious. Mm-hmm. So now they're like, it has original music, guys. Meanwhile, it's not all original music. It's just bookended with original music, which, by the way, is most boring. It's a really boring opener that's original. Then it goes into a ballad, a ballad, a ballad, a ballad. You know, just what you want for your nighttime spectacular. Even in the description, when we talked about this on In Depth, they said, what we think of is sweeping ballads. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's not what anyone thinks of for a nighttime spectacular.
If you could have a firework that yawned, they would probably use it.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's this because no one, they want to make sure that you understand the story because you're all rubes. So then every time the scene changes, there's a narrator that's like, and then sometimes people die and then more fireworks happen. And then they're like, but then you get over it. Time for Frozen 2. And then it ends.
I wonder if it's like, it's a psyop where it's like, they're going to remind you that Disney's there for you in your darkest moments. People die, but then you get over it and you come back with your magic key plus wish magnet.
I can't wait to see this show.
I am flummoxed.
Eric, I want you to see it when you go, because I want you to check Jeremy and make sure Jeremy's not just, you know, being a music nerd about it.
Well, wait until April. Okay. That's what I'm going.
If I have to, I'll wait.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, if the jet is primed up, I can go like tomorrow, but.
No, it's as a bad flatter header. Yeah. Oh, it's in the shop.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My most boring is Disney blog sites, specifically the ones, quote, reporting on what new stuff there is to buy.
Oh, yeah.
It's constantly in my Google News feed. It's just like, oh, the new friggin' Loungefly bag has dropped. Great. Pick it up. Yeah. Move on with your life.
Also, get a life. Like, go on TikTok or Instagram. Like, why is this a news article?
It's boring. Capitalism has driven the need for side hustles to this weird place where it's changed what we consider news to be. We now have articles on, and these are two article titles that were literally in my friggin' news feed. First, The Lord of the Rings. What happened to Thranduil's kingdom? I don't care. The next one, 7 signs you grew up in a dysfunctional family. Yeah, that's just my life. Like, I understand. I don't need 7 signs. I need 1 to look in the mirror.
We all know.
Yeah. These sites muddy the waters of what news actually means anymore. They survive on blowing up the most mundane item into an article that is held together solely by pop-up ads. Overall, I think this kind of addition to the Disney news cycle, number one, proves my point from earlier that we're all just focused on the new thing from Disney and when we can wait in line to buy it. But number two, it dilutes the pool of actual information that might exist, stuff as we as parks fans really do want to read about. I can't tell you the last time that I read an article about what's coming to one of the Disney parks from the actual Disney company. Mm. It's always one of these blog sites. And it's just like, I don't want to hear their take on it. I don't want to hear their analysis. I want to read it from the company.
Yeah.
It's bad. Okay. Here we go, you guys. The most underrated Disney attraction.
Oh.
It's going to start any second.
I love it. It's the buildup.
Yeah. Whatever. Most underrated Disney attraction, Taryn.
Okay, so I usually hate this category, but this year, I love it. My most underrated Disney attraction in 2023 is the Storybook Land Canal Boats.
Hmm.
Not only is this ride often 20 minutes or less, it's also extremely immersive. So once you go through the whale's mouth, you're transported to what feels like a completely secret place in the park. Things are quieter. They're more serene. I just love it. And also, speaking of secret, I don't know how many of you guys know this, but there is a secret guest book that the very first rider of that ride every day gets to sign a guest book.
Oh.
Yes, every single day. And it's I don't even know how far it goes back, but if you are the very first person to ride Storybook Land Canals, you get your name in.
If you ask for it.
No, I think they offer it. It's the first person on the ride every day.
I thought it was the first person to ask for it. But yeah, that's cool. I wonder what they do with all these books.
Nothing.
They just burn them.
It just makes people feel good.
Yeah. No, but I wonder if they're stashed somewhere in archives.
Maybe. Stealing identities or something. I don't know.
That's exactly what it is. All right. Very good.
I agree. And I love the detail on the miniatures in there. You always see new details every time you go on. I think Taryn's absolutely right. Great call.
Thank you.
All right, Jeremy. Well, since you spoke up in class, why don't you go next?
Most underrated Disney attraction is, of course, Impressions de France and the Epcot France Pavilion. It's a 180-degree thing. I think I probably picked this before years ago. I don't know. Last year was the Little Bar in Canada. But now it's Impressions de France. Classical music, all by French composers. Sweeping views of France. It never gets old for me. I absolutely love it. Go check it out.
Very good.
Nice. Agreed. Absolutely.
Eric.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye.
That's underrated?
Now, hear me out. The reason why it's underrated is because you come into the park, Dan brought this up on our recent Supreme Resort episode. Go into the park, get Genie Plus, snag an early reservation. Don't go to the ride. I guarantee that the ride will go down, and you can get a multi experience pass to plenty of different attractions.
Wow, ruthless.
Yeah, if you're starting your day at DCA, you can also go with Goofy's Sky School, which also frequently goes down. And we'll give you it. The last time I was there, I actually got multiple experience passes for Disneyland attractions like Big Thunder, for Goofy's Sky School, like go across the Esplanade and ride something else for free. When you have a chance later on in the day, just grab the same attraction again. Indy will go down and you will be able to ride on whatever you want.
Nice.
True.
It's great.
Very good. My most underrated Disney attraction, benches. All right.
Are you reading last year's again?
I know.
Oh, yeah, no,
I don't know.
4 years.
Yeah, that's because it is. It's always going to be. It's my default. Because it's
not your default even. It's just your favorite.
It's the just most
your
underrated.
Absolute.
Nobody ever talks about it.
Except
well,
you.
Well, actually on that, someone was posting recently about Disneyland people who go to Disney World. And one of the things that shocks people often is how few benches there are. The Disneyland people, they miss that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's a lot more benches at Disneyland and shade.
Yeah.
Well,
which
right.
is a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame. There's too much shade over there. We need people to get
sunstroke.
No,
it's a shame that Disney World doesn't have all the places to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, most overrated Disney attraction. Whatever, man, who cares? You know what? I'll lead it off. What do you think of that?
Okay.
All right, I'm actually keeping track of these now, in case you can't tell. My most overrated Disney attraction, and I say this with all sincerity, Disneyland. The entire park. Walt's original park has become more of a pillar of consumerism than one of family entertainment. And I know that sounds cynical and you're probably going, oh, great, here we go again. But take away any memories that you might have of the parks and the Disneyland starts to show itself to you. It's small, it's packed with people, and everywhere you look, there's a new place to buy stuff. The merch they sell is mostly geared to adults with free cash, folks who buy the latest injection molded piece of plastic in the hopes it will retain its value in 25 years, which feels a far cry from the lofty goals of having a place where families can gather together and have fun. Sure, there are family aspects, of course, I'm not denying that, but it does seem that that place is more driven by an exceeding thirst for more profits at the detriment of the overall guest experience, not to mention the lack of quality pay for its cast members. I don't know how a place like Disneyland can call itself family entertainment when cast members literally have to sue for equal pay.
I see what you're saying. I will say, though, that that whole description of them having things for sale that adult people with money to spend, that's you. That's like what you love about the park. Like, that's what you do at the park.
And
so,
it's overrated. That's just, what helps make it overrated.
Just making sure you know that you're talking about yourself.
I understand, but to have some of that is fine. But to have that be the overall point why a lot of people go, that's when it starts to be, it's too much. It's a saturation point.
Okay,
with,
I see
with
that.
All
I see
that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
All right.
Taryn, why don't you go ahead and go next?
Okay.
Most overrated Disney attraction.
This is probably the same one from last year and the year before and the year before. I did not check, but Splash Mountain, because I don't care if it's dancing bears and ostriches. I don't care if it's New Orleans jazz band. People go on that ride for the stupid drop, which is exactly the reason that I hate it. So, bye.
Wow. I don't recall that.
Oh, boy.
Jeremy.
Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind at Epcot. Most overrated. Well, I think this attraction, which replaced the Universe of Energy at Epcot, is exhilarating. So it's a as a coaster, it does feel good to you're flying around on it. It's a very smooth ride. It's like, oh, that's kind of neat. Its theming is out of place. It has no business being in that park. It's all screen based. There's nothing going on. And like, even you see like screens and then you see like not screens. So you see just like girders and stuff. It's like, well, why am I looking at the superstructure of this thing?
Girder your lens.
The story makes no sense. And the building that they built to house it ruins all the sight lines in Epcot. So I don't think that that exhilarating ride is worth all of the things we've had to sacrifice for it. It needs a virtual queue, which also this is all shows how overrated it is because people like clamor to get on this thing and everyone runs off like, ah, it's so good. And I'm like, yeah, it could be anywhere. Okay. Like, can you guys get, get a life. Yeah. Someone needs to get a life. The other thing I will point out about this is that there are a lot of rides that are based on movies that I've never seen, but I like the ride. Star Tours is a perfect example of that. Like, you don't have to be a Star Wars fan to love that ride and feel a connection with those characters. And it's like, it's cute, whatever. This does not do that for me for Guardians of the Galaxy. I have absolutely zero desire to see that movie after having ridden this attraction. And I think that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Same with Harry Potter. You go to Harry Potter World at Universal. I've not seen Harry Potter. But when you go there, you're like, wow, maybe I should get into this. It seems really cool. You don't walk out of Guardians of the Galaxy feeling that way.
Interesting.
So, most overrated.
Mm. Okay. Very good.
That's fair. I mean, yeah, you don't really connect with the characters in any meaningful way on that attraction.
Mm. Eric, round us out, please.
Radiator Springs Racers.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Okay,
let's
see.
It's a great attraction. The things that it does very well. But the last time I was in the parks, I realized I was there solo. Like, nobody else with me. My wife wasn't there. I wasn't there with friends. And I know I can get into the single rider line and get onto the attraction in pretty good time. Like, that's a good single rider attraction. We've talked about it on the show plenty of times before. You've talked about it like going years back. But I realized that there's an emotional component to the attraction that when I'm there alone, I don't want to engage with. I don't care to engage with it. Mm-hmm. I know what it does and I know that it does it really well, but I'd rather, it's not compelling to me. I'd rather go on Space Mountain or Goofy's Sky School or Millennium, like the Millennium Falcon ride, like all of those single rider lines are like, oh yeah, I can get onto the thing faster because I'm here alone.
Yeah, the racers are for some reason. I know what you're saying. They feel more like a group thing. You want to experience it with other people. You want to look around at your significant other, your friends, and be like, man, isn't this cool or whatever?
Right. Yeah. It just feels more fun when you're there with somebody. Whereas all the rest of the things like, oh, it's a roller coaster in the dark. I'm having fun on Space Mountain. I don't.
You know what? I wonder if that feeling is because of the fact that you race the other car. I wonder if you didn't race the other car, it would be totally fine. But like, you want to experience are we going to win when you have nobody to like?
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Help you cheer
That's
on
a
or
good
whatever.
Point. Right? I like that. Yeah, it does. It's a great attraction. It does what it does well. But I think you're onto something there. Yeah. When I was there alone, like I don't have any desire to get into this line.
Yeah.
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 I get that.
Cool. All right, Taryn, glad to see you go.
Sad to see you go. Oh, this category. Well, of course, I'm going to say all the mains, and I apologize if I'm taking anybody's, but Bernie Mattinson, Disney animator, director, producer, story artist, Raleigh Crump, Dick Nunes. Sad to see all of them go, and have to mention them, but truly, truly sad to see Beast's Library go. I didn't go there every
You're
time.
You're putting Rolly Crump on par with Beast Library.
I am. I mean, I'm not really.
I also don't understand why Taryn gets to list 15.
Yeah, I don't know, because I cheated.
Just everything, you know, old popcorn bucket.
I'm playing Bev, I'm playing Terrence, whatever.
The Cholula packets at Rancho de Zagallo.
Yeah, it's just, all you know, I'm glad I got to go first.
All the water they drain out of the moat to pump into the rivers of America.
Honestly, if I wasn't going to go first, I was just going to say Beast's Library. But since I went first, I just took them all. But yeah, no, Beast's Library, I am sad to see that go. Yeah. I didn't always love it, but it was a nice air conditioned spot that didn't have a lot of people. You got to do a little personality quiz. It was like walking into Cosmopolitan magazine. Like I kind of loved it. And now I'll never see it again.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It was cool. Eric.
Sad to see you go. I was going to talk about Dick Nunes, but we have a whole episode on that coming up in 2 weeks. So I'm going to skip forward to the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. It lasted longer than most of us predicted. I think I won the bet on the Supreme Resort.
Nice.
But I really, as it went on and as I read more things about it and I heard accounts of it, I really wanted to do it at least once.
Yeah.
We had a group chat on Messenger where we were really considering doing it until they announced that it was closing, and then all the dates kind of booked
up. It's actually closed?
Yeah, it's gone, dude.
It's gone?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Where have you been?
I don't know, but that's very funny.
Do you do a Disney podcast or what?
No. Oh, wow. No, I barely sit here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there were varied reports. Some people didn't have a great time. I've heard some accounts of people that wanted to engage more, but there's, you know, a bunch of kids, darn those kids having fun, you know, getting in line to do things and kind of blocking out people who are trying to be more immersive with it. But I've also heard some really great accounts of people who leaned into it, created characters for themselves, created costumes, and had a really great time doing this. Yeah, I was sold. I wanted to go in for it. Great. I wanted to put down the cash. And
if I had the cash, I would have thought harder about it. That's all.
Yeah,
I'll say.
That was it. Yeah, it was hard to justify, but I was kind of saving up, and then they kind of shut it down for tax shenanigans. And,
yeah.
Oh well.
Okay, for me, sad to see you go. New Orleans Square.
Oh
God.
Splash Mountain can bounce. I really don't care about that ride. But New Orleans Square is probably the most perfectly themed land Disneyland has. And now it's literally overrun with IP. I mean, it's by all accounts, it's done well, sure, but it didn't need to happen. It's like Elon Musk buying Twitter. It didn't need to happen. It's still working, air quotes, but it doesn't need to actually happen. There's no reason for it. Sure, people like it, but I bet if Disney announced a shop themed to Herbie the Love Bug in New Orleans Square, there would still be tons of people online going, oh, I love it. I'm so excited to go here. It doesn't matter at this point. People just want, they think they want these insertions of IP, and they miss out on what's really cool about not having that, about unique spaces in the park.
Yeah.
And it's through no fault of their own, just Disney going, well, you really like this, so let's have more of it. And you go, oh, that is cool, because I do like that thing, but I also like a bunch of other stuff. I also like how this doesn't look like anything else that I like.
Yeah.
But slowly over time, everything's starting to look like everything else. And it's just going to be a weird mishmash. It's a flip book that you take like a couple pages out and you flip it around. It's like everything, three pages look the same. It's like, I don't understand what's happening in the story.
Yeah.
New Orleans Square. That's my big one. Jeremy, sad to see you go.
Well, I'm going to repeat one of Taryn's because she went quickly through her list. So I'm going to say Rolly Crump. Sorry to see you go. He was a true original. He was a Disney legend, an Imagineer. He passed away at his home in March this year at the age of 93. Man. He was key in the early development of Disneyland and Walt Disney World attractions, as well as Disney's attractions at the 1964-1965 New York World's Fair. Notably, the Tower of the Four Winds, which stood outside the It's a Small World attraction, which they dumped in the East River.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, let's go diving in there and see if we can find it, Jeremy.
People spoke highly of him. Kim Irvine, executive creative director for Walt Disney Imagineering, added to about Rolly that he was a quintessential element of my and many others' mentorship at Imagineering. Disney legend Tony Baxter said that Rolly was always able to see a different way of doing things. I think that fascinated Walt Disney, who was always looking for innovations. When Rolly was right with his innovative approaches, they often turned out to be among the most memorable aspects in Disney parks. So,
see, Kim Irvine made it about herself.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
I always.
Yeah. The thing that I really like, and Tony Baxter's like, yeah, this is about Rolly. Let me tell people how good he was. But Kim's like, well, he really helped me, you know, get a job here. I took a lot of his ideas. And then when it came time to actually use them in the Haunted Mansion, I said, no, we got budget cuts.
You are right in tune. That is so true.
Oh,
we're going to do one more. We're going to take a break. Enough, okay. First, please. Enough already. Speaking of enough already, enough already with a Kim Irvine. Oh, poor lady.
I'm just saying.
She gets paid millions of dollars.
I know.
Probably. To just throw paint everywhere. Whatever. Anyway, enough already. You know what? I'm going to go first. Taryn got me riled up. Used up vocabulary. Wish. Dream. Enchantment. The recycled content is wearing on me. It's really, really, really wearing thin. And that sort of was speaking to what I'm saying earlier in the show, where we're at this point where Disney is not giving us anything new. Even their vocabulary, even their marketing is the same. And it's been that way for like 5 years. They need something, need a refresh. They feel like they're on life support and they're trying and they're not doing a very good job.
No, I agree with that.
They're playing in a very narrow, the sandbox that Imagineering and marketing at Disney is playing in is just getting very much more narrow and limited to just what they do. And they aren't reaching out of it at all. It's funny you say that, because last year, mine enough already was literally just the use of the word adventure.
Yeah, that's funny.
Which is just another one. They just are redoing the Little Mermaid attraction at Hollywood Studios and they're renaming it to like Adventure, Little Mermaid Adventure.
Of course they are. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Jeez.
Can't stop, won't stop. Give me enough already.
Enough already. I'm not saying park reservations have to go, but they've got to make this easier. So enough already with park reservation confusion. Yes. I don't mind park reservations. I actually like them and I wish they were staying. I think they kept, when they were using them, they kept control of the crowds in the parks. I remember you used to not be able to guarantee that you'd get in the park on Christmas Day or New Year's Day because there, or New Year's Eve, because there would be, you know, the park would go into stage foreclosure. But if you had a reservation, you could rock up at 9 o'clock and just watch the fireworks. It was fantastic. But Disney got a lot of negative guest feedback on reservations. And so they've tried to get rid of them without getting rid of them. And now we've been saddled with an ever-changing complex web of rules meant to free us up from them, but while still having them. So from the Disney website, reservations are no longer required for date-based tickets. For other admission types, theme park reservations may be required. Already now, if you say may, I'm confused.
Uh-huh.
Annual pass holders continue to need park reservations, but they don't need them if they enter a Disney World theme park after 2 o'clock, unless they're going to Magic Kingdom at Epcot on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Like whoever wrote this paragraph should have been like, you guys, are we sure here?
Yeah.
Like this doesn't even make sense. Ugh.
To make that easier, they've introduced good-to-go days, which are select days when pass holders may visit a Walt Disney World theme park without needing a theme park reservation prior to 2 o'clock. But those are subject to blackout dates and subject to change and subject to capacity limitations. So they can have them and take them away and re-add them. You never know. So you might just want to make a reservation just so you're sure.
You know that
meme? That's the system they've come up with. That's where we are.
You know that meme where like there's just like all the floating math things? Like that's,
yeah, and the person's like,
yeah, that's how I feel right now. I'm just
I wouldn't go, to be honest with you.
I don't know what you just said.
Eric, enough already.
Enough already. Stop trying to tell us what's coming up ahead. Yes. We used to love it when you'd announce, when Disney would announce amazing things at D23, and we'd all clap and get all excited. Wow, I can't believe the things that are coming. But come on, you're not really doing that anymore. Like, we've had two of these events recently where really you just showed paintings.
Yeah.
And right. Maybe there's something coming beyond Thunder Mountain. Just no.
Here's an artist rendering of how your face when you see what we're going to have next.
So the new, like, D23 this year, the big announcement thing, that whole session is happening at Angel Stadium. It's not even at the convention center. They're shuttling people to an even bigger venue so that you can cram in more people to watch the maybe. I hope that they announce something like, we've already contracted this. The Toy Story parking lot will now be the Jason Petros.
I like it.
Experience.
Yeah, I love it now.
And it, you know, like if they do that, great. I'm fine. If they show another like concept art painting that that a guy named Bill painted yesterday, no, like forget it. Enough with that. Either show us something that is going to happen, or just admit we might have some things in the future. We don't really know.
Right. Right. On that note.
Wait.
What?
The Jason Petros experience.
Taryn hasn't gone. Taryn, go then.
Enough already. This one doesn't necessarily apply only to Disney, but boomers. Stop trying to make streaming work. I'm sorry to offend any boomers out there, but just let Disney Plus and Hulu be their own thing. Like, I feel like watching these big corporations try to figure out streaming and try to figure out how to make it make money, it's like watching my grandma try to do a Zoom call. Like, I'm so frustrated by it. I don't have the answer, but like, you don't either. So just let it be. Like, my God, just enough already.
Oh, God, that's so true.
All right, everyone. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back here. We're going to wrap all this up. We have a few more categories, plus my favorite category of all, predictions for 2024. So hang on, everyone. It's ears up. We'll be right back.
Back to Ears Up, where the opinions never stop. Ever.
All right, everyone. Thanks a lot for hanging on. We are back. We just did enough already. Now we're on to best Disney dollar spent. Eric, why don't you go? Well, let's bookend this whole thing again. Why not?
Oh, all right. My best Disney dollar spent was on Genie Plus.
Really?
At Disneyland, not at Walt Disney World.
Okay.
At Disneyland, it unlocks so many different attractions that you can you get. I mean, you get that satisfaction of looking for reservations and booking things, and just as you're standing in line, you're planning out your day. It's fantastic. And it, sure, sometimes it costs $25. Sometimes it costs more. Sometimes it's less. But it's not a Universal $120. It's not a Knott's Berry Farm $100 thing. It's not like Walt Disney World, where you spend the same amount of money and there are only like three things that you can book at Animal Kingdom. At Disneyland, Genie Plus is phenomenal. You have to do it. Sure, you got to look at your phone, but we're used to that. We've done this before. That was Max Pass before Genie Plus happened. There's just, they have plenty of things to do. It's, I think you have to spend that money. You get a head in a few lines, and sure, in general, the whole concept of Fast Pass and everything, I don't like it. Because it creates a class of people who are better at going to the parks than people who are not good at going to the parks.
It's true.
But if you are good at going to the parks, spend that cash.
Do it, baby. All right, Jeremy. Speaking of babies.
Here I am saying I was wrong.
Oh.
I reported here, on In Depth, about how I thought Jollywood Nights at Disney's Hollywood Studios was stupid and a bad idea. And to be fair, it was poorly reviewed by several Disney bloggers early on. Oh, yeah. I went to the final night of Jollywood Nights.
Okay.
And I have to say, I was wrong. This was a fantastic evening. I'm glad I spent the money. Disney seems to have done a great job. The food offerings were fun. The entertainment was top-notch. Best Disney dollar spent was them putting on Jollywood Nights and me spending money on that ticket. I look forward to returning next year. Jollywood Nights.
Wow.
Nice.
Love it.
That's great. It sounds good. I don't know why anytime anybody says Jollywood Nights, I just think of Bollywood. And I feel like it's just like an East Indian, like, da, 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 you know what I mean? Like, that would be cool. That I would love to see.
That would be pretty awesome.
You would want to go to that.
Doing the Bhangra. And
I would love to see it. I wouldn't go to it. I would watch like TikTok videos of it. And you go, that looks fun, man. Good job, guys. Taryn, go ahead, please.
Best Disney dollar spent is however much it costs Disney to remove the barges from the World Showcase Lagoon. Good job, Disney. You did something right.
There you go. Yeah. Chapek.
Meanwhile, these Chapek new barges aren't that much smaller. Someone said this, that they went from tacos to quesadillas.
Okay, that's fair.
But they can remove them if they want to, right?
Sure.
They do. They remove them, but they're planted back there by like noon every day. So it's like,
okay.
Like, why even move them? Right. Okay, my best Disney dollar spend is the Magic Key. If you can get them, if you can get the passes, because at some point, if you go often enough, you're actually like breaking even, or at least, you're getting something for free from the parks, and that's always good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think those, the annual passes, I will never not call them that, I guess, or never not think about them like that. Cause Magic Key is weird. I don't like it. And I don't honestly really know if that encompasses the whole line of products, or if it's just one specific thing, and then there's another one like the Enchant Key or what. I don't know
either.
It's a lot like the reservation system. I don't know. They've changed it so many times. I couldn't tell you what's going on.
I wish they had just kept it at Annual Pass.
Yeah, me too.
I think there are different levels of Magic Key.
Yeah, I think so too.
Are, yeah, but I don't know what they're called, so I'm just calling them all Magic Key.
It's less convoluted than the Walt Disney World passes.
Yeah, well, give them time. To bookend that, the worst Disney dollar spent. Let's go, Taryn.
The worst Disney dollar spent is the revamp, and I put that in very deeply bolded quotes, of Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen.
Mm.
Even if Eric says the food and ambiance is still good, it was not broken, and that kitschiness that was there was awesome. And now it's just a CPK.
What's CPK?
California Pizza Kitchen.
Oh.
Sad.
Just wait a few episodes. I'm working on a thing.
I know.
Jeremy.
Well, this one has already been said under another category, and the money wasn't technically spent this year, but the much maligned and overly immersive Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Star Wars themed hotel at Walt Disney World did say its goodbye this year in its final voyage in September. The Star Cruiser cost Disney an estimated $400 million to build and operated from March 2022 to September 2023, just 18 months, and ended up being a $300 million write-off in the last two quarters of this year.
Wow.
Speaking in May in Boston at a JP Morgan investor conference, Disney Parks chairman Josh D'Amaro stated the obvious. It didn't perform exactly like we wanted it to perform, despite the fact it was a never before seen experience and raised the bar. We thought it was time to sunset this in September.
Yeah, not try to fix it.
No.
Not try to do something different, not lower the price or reduce the day, but just scrap it. Can it? It's not working. That's fine. Let's throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yeah, we can't salvage this at all. Yeah, there's nothing to do.
Well, because the accountants made the decision and said, take the write-off.
Yeah.
Get it done by October.
Wow.
Jeez,
the new
Louise.
Fiscal.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm going to go. The worst Disney dollar spend is Bob Iger's bonus package. I really don't feel like Bob Iger is doing anything deserving of a bonus. He is not doing anything at all well. I couldn't tell you what he's been doing properly from all the layoffs. I remember when Chapek was on his way out. People were like, oh, now Iger's back. And these people aren't going to lose their jobs because there's a rumor Chapek is going to lay off like 1,000 people. And Iger just canned 7 of them. 7,000 people.
Eight.
So
he said 7 and then he did 8.
So, yeah, it's like all this kind of stuff. The stock isn't performing well. The movies aren't performing well. The parks are the only thing that's doing really well. And so you just raise the prices on those. But you'll sort of make it harder for everybody too to go. So, worst Disney dollar spend, old Iggy baby.
Can I just build on that?
Yes,
because
please.
I just want to add that at the last investor earnings call, he said we are done fixing and now we are moving the company forward. Like we've gone through my phase of fixing the company and now it's moving forward. And then this week they announced that they're laying off 20% of Pixar. So I guess you're still in the fixing mode right there, Bob. And also, Jeez. You said you don't know what he does or what his responsibilities are. Remember when he came back, he said that his remit was two things. One, right the ship, and two, find a successor. He had to extend his contract because he can't find his own replacement because he's so in love with himself.
It's so true.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric.
Me, I'm going to stick with the kind of front line, the consumer's worst Disney dollar spent. I get if you're a collector, I understand the collecting impulse, but popcorn buckets, seasonal tumblers, sippers, whatever, you're spending $15 to $20. You're waiting in a long line for the really hot ones. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Why?
It's a
why
hunk
are
of
we,
plastic, no matter how you look at it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, sure. Tiki mugs. Okay. That's something that's more durable. That's something that can last a little bit longer. But like a hunk of plastic, that injection molded thing, some of them look cool, but I just don't quite align with that. So yeah, that's my worst Disney dollar spent. Just get the popcorn. They don't even put the popcorn in the thing.
No. And on that point, like, when I see those, all I think about is how inexpensive it was for Disney to make that thing. Yeah. I mean, pennies on the dollar, and they're charging $15 for it.
The most costly is the design.
Yeah.
You know?
The one-time charge for the design.
The GHs are disagreeing with me in the chat, but still, I have one popcorn bucket. It's a TIE fighter.
Well, see, here's the thing. You can make anything in the Disney catalog into a popcorn bucket and people will buy it. Mm-hmm. But they don't need to. It's not a necessity. It's like the Star Wars movies. You make a Star Wars movie, people are going to go see it. It doesn't mean that it's good. And it doesn't mean that performance means that we need another one.
Right.
It could still be better. It doesn't mean that these things are good. Or whatever, people are going to buy them. I think mostly because people are going to try to resell them.
Right.
Not because
that's the worst.
Not because
part.
They want to put it on the shelf and, you know, whatever. That's my opinion. I don't know.
The resale market is what kills it for me in some capacity. And also, I need my shelves for Legos.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, the real things, right? Jeremy, round
it's
it
just
out.
More overpriced plastic that is just going to end up in a landfill someday. It makes me so angry when I see people lining up for them.
Like, you get one or two, cool. But if you're one of those people that does, that's weird to me. Jeremy, did you already go?
Yeah, he
worst Disney.
Yeah.
That's like, am I opening up a new category?
I don't understand.
We can go for the Disney.
We're going to a good category. I'm excited.
Okay, biggest Disney villain, Jeremy. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay, I'm going with the biggest Disney villain is Bruce Vaughn, Chief Creative Officer at Disney Imagineering.
Ooh.
He was, part of this is that he came back on a white, as like a, you know, like a white knight, like he was going to save Imagineering. Everyone hailed his return because he had left in 2016 and gone elsewhere. And everyone thought that his return was going to be such a big boon for Imagineering and the parks and the creative. And I feel like it has not happened. And maybe we're just still waiting for this to materialize. But I just don't think he's been the savior that many of us had hoped for. And I'm also hearing allegedly that Imagineering, since his return, has just increased the amount of talent that they've been losing.
Ooh.
And he has continued to bring in outsiders who don't have Disney knowledge and experience that are coming in. That's why, and they're continuing these boring hotels because they're coming in from the hotel industry, and he's allegedly he's pulling them in. So I'm calling him the biggest Disney villain. That's because that's what I'm hearing.
I
love it. Eric,
my biggest Disney villain this year is Ike Perlmutter, the former Marvel chief who joined Disney leadership in 2009 when they purchased the corporation, when they purchased Marvel. Ike had some views and some things that he said that basically led toward him being sidelined starting in 2015. Kevin Feige could not work well with him, and eventually Feige and the MCU were moved under the umbrella of the Walt Disney Studios instead of being a Marvel thing. So Perlmutter was left to be in charge of things for a little while. He was criticized for some decisions, like when the Avengers came out, not releasing Black Widow action figures or merchandise at all, because nobody wants to have a lady action figure.
That's right. We have Barbies for those.
He also reportedly said, we don't know this for certain, but he also reportedly said that black people all look the same.
when he
was asked why Don Cheadle replaced Terrence Howard as James Rhodey in the Marvel cinematic universe.
I'm torn, honestly. The comedy, I want it to be true, but like for just humanity, I really hope that's not true.
Mean, he's 80 years old now. It's probably true.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So many of the old Marvel guards still reported to Perlmutter, even as he drove out some of the bigger names. So Edgar Wright was supposed to do the original Ant-Man, and Edgar Wright said, no, I'm not working with that guy. But then Nelson Peltz, as we talked about last year, Jeremy and I both mentioned Nelson Peltz in last year's Year in Review. Perlmutter was a big part of this investment group that was trying to get Nelson Peltz onto the Disney board. Perlmutter was a big part of that. He owns a large chunk of Disney stock, so he was involved in this. And when Iger came back on board, he promised layoffs, and Peltz and Perlmutter backed off. So some of the things that we talked about last year actually happened, where this group was coming in to say, you need to shake things up, you need to lay people off. Well, Iger did lay a lot of people off, including Perlmutter, because he found out that Perlmutter was one of the major investors in Peltz's march toward getting onto the board. And so he was, Perlmutter was fired, but he's back. And Peltz and Perlmutter and their group, Creon Fund Management, are trying to get back onto the Disney board. And they brought back former Disney CFO Jay Raziulo, who left the company after Tom Staggs was basically named as like the heir apparent of the company, which obviously didn't happen because Iger is still in charge of things many years later. But yeah, so this 80-year-old billionaire just can't wait to get his fingers back into the Disney pie.
Yeah, I bet.
And that's what we need. We need an 80-year-old man who says, but I know how it really should be run.
That's right.
No more lady action figures.
We need him. We need him for president. We need him for the board members. We need more old people. That's what this world needs.
More old people running things.
Yeah. Anybody over 75 is automatically zoomed to the top of any list nowadays.
Of course.
For me, biggest Disney villain. I was like, goes back and forth. I'm like, is it quality cinema? You know, I don't know. Meatball Ron. And it wasn't Meatball Ron. No, for me, I think the biggest Disney villain was the 9,000 women that Disney underpaid in years past. Oof. And they had to go to a court case, and the court case was settled late last year. And my opinion, the settling of said court case really just highlights how much the company actually does for its cast members. It makes them work just that extra little bit harder to get what's, you know, rightfully theirs, some would say. So in my opinion, the biggest Disney villain is these people who sued the company. You know what I mean?
Okay, I was worried you were going to say the women were the villain.
That's what that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
But they're making
a joke about it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Funny.
I did get it.
It's funny, guys.
But then I was trying.
Wait, hold on. I have the perfect.
I hate myself. It's a stupid show.
Well, like, In my mind, I'm like, oh, he's being ironic.
Yeah, I was. That's the joke. Because
I get it now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Taryn.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here. Go. Yeah, go
what
ahead.
What did
please.
I do?
What you didn't do is more of the question.
Biggest Disney villain. Okay. You know, Chapek got a lot of crap for the things that he said while he was CEO. And I don't know if people see this or not, but Iger is exactly the same, if not worse. Iger speaking out against the actor-writer strike was a low for me this year. Telling them that the very basic things they were asking for, like, you know, credit, benefits, fair pay, that they were not being realistic and that the strikes were very disturbing. That, along with the 1,000 additional layoffs to the 7,000 that he had already announced, and the atrocious year at the box office, and the streaming not doing well, and less than stellar park reviews, I'd say that Disney's worst enemy right now is, in fact, their leader. Bobby doesn't know when to call it quits, Iger.
Wow.
I mean,
She ate with that one.
I couldn't have said it better. It was succinct. It was great.
Thanks.
I have something to say. This is my opinion. My name is Taryn.
You're such a brat.
Thank you.
What?
I thought my 24 predictions got deleted, but they're there.
No, heaven forbid.
They're just on a different page.
Biggest Disney hero. That was real loud. Hey, coming at you. Who's going to be? We're taking the thing. What are you saying to me, Taryn? When you try to whisper, I can't hear you because
I'm not whispering,
headphones
I'm
on.
Mouthing. Literally not using words because we're saying? On a podcast. I was saying I will go first.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
That's
man.
Why I was trying to mouth
biggest
it so
Disney
that it wouldn't
hero.
Be on the microphone.
Okay, but I have a light in my face and I can't necessarily pay attention to what your mouth is. This woman, I swear to God. All right, Taryn, why don't you go first?
Okay, great. So
I guess we can't hear Taryn anymore. Let me try to fix that.
What
okay,
is this?
Is
19 or oh, jeez. I was going to say 2014, but whoa.
Go ahead, Taryn.
I'm feeling a little uncomfortable with my biggest Disney hero after hearing what Eric said, because mine is Nelson Peltz. And I feel like I maybe didn't do enough research.
Hey, Jeremy and I both did Peltz as a hero last year, so it's fine.
So here's what I have to say. We've heard about him on In-Depth and Disney News and last year on this show. But I said that he's my biggest Disney hero because he appears to be the only person truly standing up to Bob Iger. He owns shares of Disney through his company, Trian, which stated Disney is the most iconic companies in the world with unrivaled scale, unparalleled customer loyalty, irreplaceable intellectual property, and an enviable commercial flywheel. However, Disney has woefully underperformed its peers and its potential. I happen to solely agree with this statement. Disney has reputed this by claiming that Trian doesn't own the shares that they claim to own, stating that Peltz, quote, was terminated from his employment by Disney earlier this year and has voiced his longstanding personal agenda against Disney's CEO and villain, Robert A. Iger, which may be different than that of the rest of the shareholders. So he doesn't like Iger. And I kind of feel like that's a good thing right now. But I didn't know about some of the other things that Eric said.
It's Perlmutter. It's not Peltz. Peltz seems like an okay guy.
That's good. I do think, though, that like what Disney needs is somebody to stand up to Iger, because Iger is King Iger. And, you know, everybody seems to fall at his feet and kiss his feet and kiss the ground he walks on and thinks he can do no wrong. And it sounds like this is the one guy who's like, I don't think so. And I like that.
Yeah. He was going to be my biggest Disney hero. And then I realized I didn't really know much about him. So I changed it.
Well, you're smarter than me.
Thanks, man. Jeremy.
Well, Taryn, what you said about, you know, he's Iger and he's at the top. It's true. The higher up you get in a company, the more people just tell you what you want to hear and not what you need to hear. So a little loyal opposition is a good thing. Therefore, my biggest hero of this year is Nelson Peltz as well. Peltz is fighting to acquire seats on the Disney board. He went away. He went quiet for a little while, as Eric alluded to, but he is back after now having partnered with former Marvel chairman Ike Perlmutter, who has given over control of his shares to Nelson Peltz, who's also partnered with Disney, former Disney chief financial officer Jay Rasulo. Peltz has pushed for cost cutting, a revamped streaming strategy, and a clearer succession plan, which obviously this company is in dire need of.
It's all normal things that people actually really care about.
Yeah.
What happens when you leave and what is going on with streaming? Because you fired the guy that you picked to head the streaming.
Right. The person he's interested in them doing the things that a leader of a company should be executing.
Right.
The other thing that I didn't mention this, but the other thing that one of his big call outs has been how Disney's balance sheet is a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. And we all know that, sorry to see you go, CFO Christine McCarthy left this year as well. And what one of Peltz's big gripes with the company is that they're milking the parks too much and not investing in that cash cow to prop up streaming and all these other things that just aren't, the return's just not there. And then Disney comes out a few weeks ago and they tout this new collaboration with their own hedge fund, activist hedge fund called Value Act.
Capital.
Value Act. But I'm going to tell you that that is Value very Act? Unlikely to Value Act. That Yeah, so it, Disney.
It sounds like a... big. I wouldn't even stay in a hotel called that. Like it sounds cut rate. You know what I mean? Like you go to Food Max and you buy Value Act cereal and it's going to taste like cardboard. Yeah. Like, no, what is that?
Wow. What's in a name? Anyway, Disney comes out. They have this big press release. This is their big answer to Peltz, that they're partnering with Value Act. And Value Act has backed them, but they own like a tenth of the shares that Peltz has amassed. So Peltz is 33 billion shares that he has, that he's in charge of, or he has decision making power over about 33 million shares. Value Act is dwarfed by that. So I don't think he's worried at all. And I think his fight will continue.
That's awesome. Nice try,
Disney.
I love it. Eric.
Well, I considered balancing Peltz against the villain that is Perlmutter, because Perlmutter's a bitter old man and Peltz actually seems like he's trying to do something here. But I, you know what? Because I figured that Jeremy would talk about it, and apparently that's the theme here is everybody saying that Peltz is great. I decided to go with a controversial hero.
Me.
Murphy the Phantasmic Dragon. Murphy going up in flames this year. Murphy decided on their own to go up in flames. This gives Disneyland a chance to rewrite a spectacle that's been going on for too long, far too long. come up with something new. Let's try something different. That's all.
All right.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, for me, the biggest Disney hero has got to be Dave Filoni. In no timeline would Disney be making so much money without Kevin Feige or Dave Filoni, for that matter. Dave Filoni has manhandled the Star Wars universe into something average in the best of times, and thusly was handed the reins of Lucasfilm late last year. This man is now the end-all be-all for Star Wars creative content. It seems like a win to me, and no doubt nerds everywhere would love his job. I know that I would. He seems like a man passionate about Star Wars, and he can clearly bring home the bucks in the box office, or at least eyeballs on streaming, but can that translate to the big screen with his new Mandalorian movie? Only time will tell. But I feel like he's going to be the biggest hero, at least in the balance sheet, like Jeremy said, coming in 2024. He has his own Mandalorian movie coming out. I actually don't know if that was announced when that was coming out, but it was announced a couple days ago, I think. We'll see. I don't know. But that's what a great job to land. You know what I mean? You make weird cartoons and suddenly you're the head creative of Star Wars. Like, God. Damn, that's falling up.
Good,
man,
for you.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Congrats.
All right. Before we get to our predictions, I'm going to remind everybody that the 21st Amendment is here making beers for your thirst quenching delight or something like that. And right now it is Hell or High Pomegranate season. We've rotated back around, everybody. Pomegranate is on the menu. Their famous Hell or High series, which is a classic American wheat beer, but now flavored with pomegranate juice. That's the new thing. And it's real pomegranate juice. It's not flavoring like a lot of other places do. It's very, very good. Very, very delicious. And you can find it. You can go on 21st-amendment.com. Or if you're like me and don't know how to spell amendment, you can just Google it and it'll just make it for you. They have a beer finder. So they distribute to 36 states. Yours is probably on there. And then what else I found out on their website, if you live in California, they will ship you some beer, not everything. But you can go right now if you're in California. You didn't pick up some of their great Fireside Chat, which is their winter warmer. They have a gift pack, two cans of that, and like a goblet for $35.
Cool.
And they'll ship it to you. And then they have a couple beers. They have a beer series made in the Bay that rotates all the time, and they'll ship that to you only in California. But still, if you're Southern California or Northern California, you can't make it out to San Leandro or whatever. You can get it shipped to you, which I think is really great. So check it
That's
out.
Awesome.
Hell or High Pomegranate. And I love on their website, they have like what it pairs with. And it's like basically just anything. Grilled apple brine pork chops. Roast turkey with cranberry gravy. Roast winter root cellar vegetables with a honey glaze. Like who doesn't put a honey glaze on their winter root cellar vegetables? No, but check them out. And then you know what you should do is you should go to the company on their website. And there's a picture of Sully and there's a video of him popping out of the mash tun. He's a really cute man. So I love him very much.
He's fantastic.
Anyway, 21st Amendment. When you're coming out here into the Bay Area, you can go to their headquarters, their head location at San Leandro, or you can go to their brew pub in San Francisco, which is at 563 Second Street, which is two blocks from Giant Stadium. And have yourself a meal, have yourself a bunch of really great beers. And just enjoy yourself for a change. You know, the Bay Area, we're all about enjoying ourselves out here. So check them out. All right, here we go. Predictions. Oh, yeah. We're going predictions, baby, tonight. Yeah, predictions, baby. It's going to be too long of a night. I got to go to bed. I got a headache. Okay.
So what we do last year, or what we do normally, is go through last year's too, just like, you know,
just
to see
quickly
if our predictions came true, and then we give our predictions for this year. So
love it.
I want Eric to go first.
All right. Last year, I predicted that we would have Disney War Part 2 with Iger coming back into power. Not we haven't really seen a whole lot of that. Rebalancing of streaming and backing off on too much streaming content. That kind of happened. Mm-hmm.
I'd say that those are both trues.
Gradual release of park reservations, which is technically happening now.
Technically, yep. It is happening, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And exploration of even more models of the annual pass experience. I don't know what that means then.
Well, I think that's a win.
I think, yeah. Let's give that to Eric. You did pretty good.
Woo! Good job, Eric. You get a plus. All right, Jeremy.
Hooray.
No, actually not Jeremy. Taryn.
Well, is he going to show his 24?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah, the predictions for this year. The citizens of Florida will tire of shenanigans and vote the true cronies, Disney, back into power.
Yeah.
Right. APs in Florida will see a wider expansion of good to go days.
Whoa.
We're going to reduce some of the confusion and basically just say, just come to the parks. Okay, guys.
Okay.
Let's see. I predict that we're going to have an actual announcement about what's going to happen with the Toy Story lot in particular, and maybe they will commit to something specific happening in that lot at D23. D23 is like I said, they're having this at Angel Stadium. They're doing it bigger this year. They got to have something real.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be real this time.
I hope so.
Tiana's Bayou Adventure will open, and there will be lots of people complaining about things. Certain types of people, perhaps.
Okay.
That's kind of a given.
Yeah.
And when Tiana's Bayou Adventure opens in Critter Country, there will be animatronics that will stream across an Annex Pooh Corner. They'll have hand-carved weaponry as they attack the attraction and then take over the train station next. Oh no, they might have to take the train over to Toontown. They're going to annex Toontown next.
Is this your scary story instead?
Yeah, wait,
is it bleeding
what's
through?
Happening right now?
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you, Eric.
Maybe I'll save that. Also, they're going to bring back the blueberry churros.
That sounds gross.
Yeah, well, first of all, it sounds
gross. Brandy, can you please come and get Eric? He's late for his medication, his bed. He needs to go to bed, please. Thank you.
Is that it, Eric?
That was it.
All right, Taryn, go ahead, please.
My 2023 predictions were that I think that Disney is going to win the Reedy Creek District battle. Hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
I think Lightning Lane and Genie Plus will be restructured to be under a single roof, either paying for FastPass separately or will all be built into one higher cost. False. And last, Jason, Alice, and I will go to Disneyland.
False.
28.
Wow. In your defense, we tried.
We tried.
We just literally couldn't afford it.
Yeah. 2024 predictions. I think we're going to start seeing more of Josh de Tight Pants because he's young. He's energetic and he has a better rapport with the Disney audience. I think we're going to see Iger stay out of the spotlight a little bit more for PR purposes. And DeMauro will start getting groomed for the CEO gig potentially.
So you're saying Disney is groomer.
Got
it. Okay.
Number two, I am going to be totally honest. And I think 2024 is going to be a very bland year for Disney. I don't think they're going to make any really big moves in the parks, streaming, acquisitions, anything. I think they're going to have a restful year and try and figure out what direction the company really needs to go in. Kind of like a timeout year.
Mm. Catch a bubble, Disney.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And finally, Jason, Alice, and I will finally go to Disneyland, but like for real this time.
Maybe. We'll see. If I can get a job, we'll go, man. Okay, let's see. Jeremy.
Last year, my prediction was that the People Mover, we would get an announcement that would be coming back to Disneyland.
Oh my God, that's right.
And
darn
I was
it.
Didn't we double down? So now you owe me $200?
No, there was no double down.
No, you sure? Okay.
All right. Can there be?
I wish that came true.
I know, but it's never
going to
happen.
I really thought it was going to, too. I know you but did. Then I saw that when I was writing this up. I looked back. I was like, oh my God.
You were pretty certain. Yeah.
Didn't you say like you had some inside information or weren't you like, didn't you say something like that? Like a bird told you.
I thought that WWNT made a compelling case.
Yeah. So they steered you wrong. A mental case over
they
there.
Did steer me wrong.
Tom Corliss.
Weird.
Got me.
Well, you know, they're right.
I bought into it.
They're right more than they're wrong. You know, a famous man once told me that.
And then my prediction for this year is I predict that this is a prediction for the future. I don't know that this is necessarily going to happen in 2024, but I think by the end of 2025, that's a hard stop. I'll go as far as that.
Okay.
Luminous, the Symphony of Us will be gone or will have undergone a major reworking because that was supposed. The whole problem with Harmonious was that it had no retention. People were leaving the park and ignoring the show. No one wanted to stay for it. And this show is worse than Harmonious.
No.
On so many levels.
I think the reason
that they gave us this new show was to fix that problem and it's going to make it worse. So it's not going to last. Mm.
I think you should be bold and say end of 2024. I say be aggressive with it.
But they're not going to let it last for 13 months. It just debuted in December.
Do you think that they will bring back the one that you like? What is it?
Illuminations. Reflections of Us.
Do you think they'll bring that back? It was clearly a bigger draw than any of these.
From someone that I listen to who has knowledge of the Imagineers that worked on this.
Bomb Dorless says.
No, not him. Quote unquote, the ghost of Illuminations looms large over these projects.
I bet, man.
And they can't shape, like they can't figure it out. So either they're going to have to find something that can top it but that ghost isn't going away. Hmm. And also financially, they will get rid of this if it doesn't keep people in the park because they're not going to throw fireworks into the air for nobody.
Well, right. That's true. Yeah.
All right. My predictions last year, we're going to see more Star Wars and more Marvel stuff, but in ways we never thought possible. Iger loves his IP and will be looking for any way to Iger up the parks and retail arms of the company. I think we'll hear more of these movies and shows being announced as being in development, which, doesn't take a great leap of logic, but, you know, whatever. And last year, we had three entire Star Wars movies announced in 2023, plus, I think, a series or whatever. So, you know, sure, that's a win. I don't know, whatever. Who cares? I knew that there was going to be an influx of Star Wars crap.
Okay.
And that's basically all I meant to say. This was the stupidest thing I could ever thought of. The prices for Lightning Lane tickets will plateau, no longer hitting $25 at times per ticket. And then I wrote, this was a prime example of what happens when I try to be too positive. I am truly sorry. So there you go. My predictions for next year are, you know, a little bit calmer. Another ride in a Disney park somewhere will fall ill with IP sickness. Iger can't resist getting his gilded hands all over these parks. And I think this year we will see him announce one ride somewhere, probably Disney World, would be getting a retheme to an existing bit of IP. Mm. I mean, I feel like that's pretty safe. I don't know. It's like one a year goes down, right?
I could see.
The second one, politics is just going to get weirder in this country, at least for the next couple of years. And I think Disney will kill the Hall of Presidents in Disney World and replace it with what? I don't know. But that's my prediction for this year. That is going to go away this year. Mm. That's it.
All right. Yeah.
Well, even politics aside,
it's
that
just
stage is only so big. Like you can't, like how many, you just can't keep cramming them in there. So eventually they're going to have to say, like they were going to have to come up with something else.
Well, I mean, not to mention,
you know what they need to do is everybody who they launched into space recently, get rid of. Like the Washington's DNA is now floating around in space somewhere. Get rid of them.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you haven't heard this?
No,
dude, that like lunar lander or whatever. There's some private company. I forget the name, Persimmons or whatever the hell it's called. And they launched a lunar lander That had the DNA of like 300 people on it, from like George Washington to JFK to Gene Roddenberry. And then from the lander, I believe they was going to launch a capsule to rotate around the sun, like to until the sun, you know, friggin' explodes.
Like the sun will eat that.
Well,
like,
there's since gravitational pull. Right. Okay. So it's just going to stay there until the sun goes out. But apparently there was some like valve issue. And so they're not even really sure that it can. It's like they're stranded in space. So anyway, there's this capsule with like 300 samples of DNA from famous people of the world. Probably all Americans.
How did have a thousand questions?
I know,
but
I don't know any answers to any of them. Like, how did they get George Washington's DNA?
How did they get any DNA? And I don't know, also, man. Why? And also, like, what is wrong with people? This isn't doing anything. You're not going to regrow George Washington, nor do we want to.
Imagine this. Imagine you have all this money. And instead of, you know, helping to solve a homeless crisis or
you're going to put George Washington in space
or whatever, you're going to get George Washington's DNA and launch a space capsule. That would be cool. That'd be cooler. Anyway, that's it. We're done. I was going to do news, but I didn't realize the show was going to be almost 2 hours long. So we're done. We're out of here. You guys, thank you very much. I really appreciate the hard work you did here. Hold on a second.
Yeah. Can we get the music one more time?
Oh, you want the you want this music?
Of course.
You know what's funny?
We got to end the show.
It's called One More Time.
Nice.
Yeah. That was the 2023 Year in Review. Oh, they left you hanging. Oh, it's the end of the song.
Hurts. Oh, my God. What a letdown.
That is uncomfortable. Let's rewind it, though. Thank you, everybody. 2023 Year in Review, brought to you by our friends at the 21st Amendment, where every can of beer feels like this song.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, we are going to get out of here, everybody. Thank you very much. We are, you know, we had one show last month, so we're back on our BS this this year. This, you know, from moving forward, we just had our planning meeting, so we've got a lot of cool shows planned for you this year. I'm really excited about all of them. We have a couple new items of merchandise in our Etsy store. You can go check that out. It's a really cool Bob Chapek shirt. If you're into the Misfits and Bob Chapek, ironically or not, I don't really care. Go check out the shirt. I'm really excited about it. I haven't even ordered one yet. I got to order one. I'm really excited about it. Maybe I'll order the Zippy. I don't know. I've made it into a mug, too, if you like mugs, if you're a mug person. Anyway, I appreciate you guys' support. And until next time, we'll see you later. And I can't with this friggin' song. Give me my song. Where's my song? There we go. All right.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Bye, guys.